I still do love these like more intimate stripped down versions of songs, but I don't foresee myself doing like a ton in the future. So it's like, yeah, I people can enjoy how they, I don't know. I think it's just me, but it's still a big sound, I guess. A lot of people always look at my pedal board and they're like, oh, like where's the loop coming from? And I was like, oh, there's no loop. And they're like, oh, are you running like a track in there somewhere? I was like, no, there's no tracks. I got really obsessed with like tones and textures and pedals during the pandemic. And it really kind of helped build like this really gigantic kind of solo sound. So yeah, I kind of have fun with it. And have been kind of doing that for portions of this year because of the Timelines album. But yeah, I think people can expect kind of these big solo anthems with kind of technical guitar technique.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay, before I let you go, how can listeners connect with you? Let's say they're hearing about you for the first time. Like, how can we connect with you online, see what you're up to, all of the things?
Yeah, yeah. People can, like, I feel like I'm on all the social media. I kind of do, like, Instagram and TikTok and YouTube, and all the songs are on all the DSPs and stuff. And, yeah, like, if people are, like, I still have a few shows here and there when I'm not like working on a new record, I kind of come out of the dungeon once in a while. But I have like a website, acenabby.com, where it kind of has like my tour schedule up to date on there.
Nice. And I'll include all the links in the show notes for listeners, just so that it makes it easy to connect. Acenabby, I just want to thank you so much for joining me today. You have been a pleasure, and it's been so good to hear your process, right, for the album that is currently out now, which is Timelines, available now, guys. So thank you, Acenabby.
I was gone all those years, chasing all those different years. I was gone all those years, running from invisible fears.
Are you interested in a more holistic approach to women's health? Lilac and Leaf is a virtual women's health clinic serving the Greater Vancouver region, bringing together mental health, nutrition, and well-being. Alongside our team of specialized counselors and dietitians, Lilac and Leaf offers access to discover community-made wellness products and opportunities to take educational workshops led by local health and wellness professionals. Learn more at lilacandleaf.ca.
You're listening to CJSF at 90.1 FM in Burnaby. CJSF is diverse, independent, and yours. Uniquely curated programming by our hosts maintains an independent voice among the masses. You keep CJSF independent.
Reporting from Vancouver, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. On September 1st, outside of Vancouver City Hall, the organization named Women Transforming Cities launched the Our City Hall campaign. Women Transforming Cities is a grassroots feminist charity that aims to radically shift social, economic, and political power to equity-deserving groups. One of the ways they aim to do this is through the Our City Hall campaign. The result of over a year of community surveys, outreach, and engagement, identifying the major policy asks that people have for the next mayor and council after October's municipal election. CJSF went down to City Hall, where we spoke with Clara Prager, the manager of civic engagement and advocacy for Women Transforming Cities. During our conversation, we learned about the specific policy asks the campaign is advocating for, how the engagement and opinions received this election cycle differed from previous years, and where the campaign will be going next. Take a listen.
Yeah, today Women Transforming Cities is launching the Our City Hall Pledge, which is our six policy priorities for mayor and council candidates in this upcoming election. So for the past several months, we've been engaging with community and listening to residents and organizations to understand their needs. We translate what we heard into concrete policy asks that the next mayor and council could implement, and we ask them to commit to taking action on these priorities if elected, and then after the election we hold them accountable to those promises and ask them to follow through. So we spent 12 months engaging with residents. We heard from thousands of people, 600 survey responses, 30 workshops with community partners with over 500 participants, tabling at 22 events and hearing from thousands of people at these events. And what we heard was, and our policy asks really are our vision for a more affordable city, a more connected city, and a healthier city. Things like more co-op and social housing, more reliable transit, more affordable transit, community spaces where people can come together and have social connection, access services they need, things like longer library hours, food security, and public washrooms and gender safety.
Mm-hmm. This is something that you had done also for like the previous municipal election. How do the priorities and policy pledges that you put forward differ when compared to 4 years ago?
Yeah, good question. This is actually the fourth time that we've run this campaign. We've run the Our City Hall campaign in every election since 2014. But this time we've changed the name to, it used to be called the Hot Pink Paper campaign, and now it's called the Our City Hall campaign. And some of the things that we've noticed have changed since the 2022 iteration of this campaign are food security was, we heard about that in the last iteration, but now it's undeniably a really big priority for so many demographics, and that's one of our calls to action for mayor and council candidates. And then community spaces wasn't something we heard about as much in 2022. Could have been because we were right in the midst of the pandemic. But right now, people are really craving places where they can gather with family and friends, where they can access childcare, access mental health supports. So we're asking the city to provide real estate property that they own already. They actually own thousands of property across the city to ensure that these services are more accessible. So those are some of the things that are different. Some of the things that we've noticed are the same. Housing continues to be the number one priority. That has not changed. Transportation and public washrooms were also asks in our last campaign. Those are carried forward in this campaign as demands for City Council to take action on, because we just haven't seen enough progress on those issues in the last 4 years.
Are there any council candidates so far that have put their support behind this initiative?
A lot of council candidates and mayoral candidates were here today, which we really appreciate. And we have sent the pledge to all parties. And we hope that all candidates for mayor and council will respond and enthusiastically say yes to this vision for a more affordable, a safer, and a more connected city.
Yeah, I mean, I'd imagine that even after the election, like, the work doesn't stop there. Women Transforming Cities, is there more, I guess, are there plans for the future post-election to just keep advocating for these kind of things?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We really emphasize that this is a four-year campaign, that, you know, when we're engaging with communities, we're not just asking them what they need, but we're also working to build capacity and build power so that after the election, we can organize together and work to hold our elected leaders accountable to follow through on these asks. You know, it's not enough to just pay lip service during the election. We actually need action, even when it's not politically convenient. So we do a lot of work to equip people to speak to City Council, to understand what their local government can do for them, and to take action so that we can continue to push for these six policies for years to come.
I think those are all the questions I had to ask, but if there's anything else that we didn't touch on that you think is worth mentioning, please do.
Sure, we'll be sharing the results of the pledge at our City Hall Forum, which is our council candidates debate on September 16th. So we've invited all major parties to participate in that, and we hope, we're almost sold out, so if you do want to attend our in-person part of that, do register soon. It's a free event, and you can find more information on our website, womentransformingcities.org.
Once again, that was Clara Prager, the manager of civic engagement and advocacy for Women Transforming Cities, speaking at the Our City Hall campaign launch, where the organization detailed their six major policy asks for council and mayoral candidates in the upcoming Vancouver municipal election. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.
Nightwing stretches out, clever finds a zipper and pulls around. It dumps his treasure on the ground, and yet we scolded somehow. I hear them say, what makes us thrive is a common way. And in their language they will say, we'll either both bend or break. Time you find it out. Was it possibly understood?
Hi there, this is Jan Arden, and if you're listening to something fabulous, well, you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, Simon Fraser University Radio, streaming on the internet at cjsf.ca.
This is broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain.
All right, joining me now is Madeline Reed, who's the Community Engagement Officer for the BC Cooperatives Association. We're here to talk about the BC Cooperatives Association's upcoming Further Together Summit for Cooperatives. That's happening next month on September 17th and 18th. But before we get into that, I wanted to dig into a little bit about just what cooperatives are. We've all heard about cooperatives. There's lots of them that come in the news from now and again and whatnot. But what does being a cooperative mean, and how is it organized?
Yeah, great question. So a cooperative, sort of the by definition, is a association of people that come together to serve some kind of common need. And so if you think about a co-op, it has sort of three key components. There's a community of people that have some kind of need that they need to meet, and they can do that together using some kind of cooperative method. And so what that looks like in practice is you can have, for example, a company where the workers all own the business together, rather than having, say, in the case of a union, where you have the union provides support for like collective bargaining against, or, you know, in right. Conversation with the company. In this case, the workers actually own the company themselves.
Right.
You can also have cooperatives that are owned by consumers. So, for example, a credit union is a bank that's actually owned by the people who use the banking services. Or if you have a food co-op or like a car co-op like Modo, it's the people actually using that service, either purchasing the groceries or driving those cars, that are all as a community collectively owning that resource or business together. So it's a really amazing way for community to own a business and a key or a nonprofit. They can be both. And a key aspect, I think, that differentiates cooperatives from other types of organizations is that the members, or the community that owns the cooperative, they all have an equal vote. So it's a very democratic form of ownership. Everyone gets an equal say in electing the board, who then makes the key decisions that impact the cooperative. And in the case of profit sharing, if a co-op makes a profit, that money also will get redistributed back into the community. So it's really good for supporting community wealth building, for supporting distribution of power, of wealth, and ownership.
So cooperatives are really involved in a quite a broad range of activities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's, I think, the beauty of the cooperative model is it's so adaptable. We just talked about two different forms of cooperatives. You know, there's the consumer or the worker. Cooperatives can also be owned by a group of businesses. In the case of the BC Cooperative Association, where I work, we are a cooperative of the co-ops of BC. So the variety of cooperative organizations across the province are all members of ours, and then we work to support those members. So that's another form, is that, yeah, organizations can be owners of a co-op as well. And there's so many co-ops across different industries. So we talked about food and transportation, banking services. Also, there's, for example, there's New Roots Cooperative, which is a cooperative of tree planters. So it's a tree planting company that's owned by the planters. Or you can have gas co-ops, you can have fishing co-ops. Housing co-ops is the one that people often are most familiar with. Mm-hmm. But really, if you, any type of business or nonprofit organization, for the most part, you could probably think of a way to make it cooperative.
Why might folks want to choose a cooperative model? They have a project they want to do, as opposed to, say, a regular nonprofit or organizing as a private company.
Totally. There's a lot of reasons. I think affordability can be one, for example. I think housing co-ops are such a good example of this, especially in the Lower Mainland, where housing is so expensive. A housing co-op is a way to try and secure rents so that they mm-hmm. can be actually affordable and affordable for long periods of time for a particular community. You may also have cultural needs that you want to meet as a collective. So, for example, in the case of, I believe it's Muslim culture, Oh, I'm trying to remember the actual fact now. But in Muslim culture, it's important for loans to not have interest. And at a typical bank, that might not be something that's ever on the table. But then, so if a Muslim community can come together and form a credit union that operates in alignment with their cultural practices, which it can be super, you know, obviously really important for folks. It's also a way to, I think, do business differently. I think, you know, a lot of people, myself included, are feeling very frustrated by the sort of dominant, exploitative, working capitalist culture that we have that strips people of often their rights and their autonomy, and also can take, you know, take a lot of the profit and put it elsewhere, or take it out of communities and take it out of the hands of those actually laboring and doing the production. And so this is a very tangible way for folks to take back ownership of their workplaces, democratize the workplace, and feel like, yeah, feel like what they're doing is important and they're actually getting the value back that they're putting into their workplace, for example.
Right. So perhaps you've already answered this, but what does the cooperative movement offer society that other forms of organization don't? I mean, some of it is the flexibility you've talked about of doing business in a way that's different than a for-profit model. But what does it offer society?
Yeah, I think it offers. So, something I didn't talk about as well that's very unique to cooperatives is that cooperatives around the world all follow the same seven cooperative principles. And I think, and I won't go into all of them in detail or anything, but it's easy to look those up. But I think what they do is they provide a framework of guidelines that center community, center economic prosperity for a community. Often there's more of a focus on sustainability. And so when we're thinking about trying to build sustainable futures and resilient communities, then cooperatives offer, I think, like a structural framework for how to actually implement that in practice. And I think when we're talking about, you know, things like in rural communities, lots of industry is shutting down or people are moving out, there's not a lot of opportunity. When we're thinking about the tariff challenges that we're facing with international partnerships and needing to build local reliance and local resiliency, cooperatives offer a means for people to be able to take ownership of the things in their community that they care about so that those communities can continue to not only survive, but ideally thrive and prosper.
Great. So the BCCA has an upcoming conference for cooperatives and people involved in cooperatives, the Further Together Summit. Can you tell me more about that and who's it for?
Yeah, totally. So as you mentioned, yes, we have this Further Together Summit. And the reason we've called it that is we really, in the cooperative movement, it's obviously about working collectively. And so as a move, and one of the cooperative principles is actually called cooperation among cooperatives. And so it's this idea that, yes, we want to work together within our cooperatives, our own cooperatives, but we also want to work together as a sector and a movement. And so by bringing everyone together on September 17th and 18th, we're hoping to create an environment where folks can have generative conversations and build relationships so that we can actually work together as a sector to be more successful. And so it's definitely a co-op focused agenda. We have lots of different content around both accessing capital, finding ways to support cooperatives financially, and also governance and leadership. So how do we lead our cooperatives collectively and democratically? And so it's definitely good if you have a bit of a cooperative background, but we're really excited to welcome anyone who's interested in learning about you know, alternative forms of doing business, democratic ownership, sustainable social enterprise, all these different sort of related areas. It's really open to anyone, but just know that we will be taking a very cooperative leaning as we're talking about things. So that's something I think to get excited about.
So would this be an appropriate conference for someone who's, or look, some folks who are saying, oh, maybe this is a model that would work for us. Would this be appropriate for them?
Totally. I think this would actually be an amazing opportunity to be able to learn a bit more about what is possible when you employ the cooperative model. and also to meet a bunch of different people from all across the province who are doing all different kinds and running all kinds of cooperative organizations, sort of like what we talked about in the beginning. There's so many different ways that you can use this model. And so this is a really cool, yeah, opportunity to meet folks from across the province, from across the Lower Mainland, get some inspiration. There will also be folks from the funding side, so, and lending side. And so if you have a cooperative idea and you want to learn a bit more about how you can get that idea off the ground, this is actually a really, really good place to learn more about that. We have workshops during the Access to Capital themed day, which is the first day of the conference, that are about how do you prepare to your business plan so that you can actually get grants or get the loan from a credit union, or how do you build the story around your cooperative to be able to get people interested in understanding what you do. So it's, and also how do you work with other cooperatives to support your cooperative. So there's lots of different I think learning opportunities for folks no matter where they are in their co-op journey.
I noticed you had a special rate for youth for anyone 30 and under. Can you tell me about that?
Yes. And we actually just launched an even more special rate for some very lucky youth. So we have a special youth rate, which is for folks 30 and under. And that ticket is $150, which is less than half of the price of a regular member ticket. And that covers your entire conference pass, so all of the events and activities, and it also includes breakfast and lunch and a reception for both days. And yes, so that's what that covers, the 150. But we have also just launched a ticket giveaway for two youth passes. So, and what that means is somebody will win two passes so they can bring a friend. And we will also include a hotel room, because I don't think I mentioned this yet, but the conference is in Abbotsford. So if you're located more, you know, towards Vancouver or Burnaby, it's a bit of a commute. So we wanted to make that easier to provide by providing a hotel room for free at the conference center. And so if you would like to enter into this giveaway, what anyone can do is they can email us, and our email is connect@bcca.coop. And in that email, just say you're interested in being entered into the giveaway and just give us one sentence about why you'd really like to attend the conference. And then we will do that draw on September 11th, a week before the conference. And then some lucky winner will get two passes and a free hotel room for the duration of the event.
Great. So hopefully, maybe there will be a lucky winner for that.
Yes.
How does everyone else find out about the conference and learn more and get registered?
Totally. If you would like to learn more and get registered, you can head to bcca.coop/together. And on that webpage, it has all of the workshops, all of the keynote speakers who will be there, and all of the various conference details you need in order to feel informed about your stay.
So say that address again.
Yes, bcca.coop/together.
Excellent. Thanks so much for talking to me about this today. And it's September 17th and 18th. So
correct.
Coming up next month. So people, if they're intrigued now, they should jump on the internet and start finding out right away. Are there early rates and late rates?
Passed the early bird deadline. So now we're on to the regular rates. But the student rate is consistent, the youth rate for 30 and under has not changed. So it's still a good more affordable $150.
Great. Well, thanks so much for joining me today, Madeline Reed of the BC Cooperative Association. And you're the community engagement officer?
Yeah, manager, officer.
Manager.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining me today, and good luck with the conference for the summit.
Thanks so much for having me. It was great to be here.
Thank you.
Do you like music, or do you like technology, or do you like talking to people? CJSF Radio is the place for you. Here at CJSF, the opportunities are endless. You can interview artists and bands, speak up for what you believe in, or even host your own show, and tons more. To find out more information, visit cjsf.ca.